Lord, we ask that you'll speak to us now through your word in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, it's very good to be with you. Lyndon kindly invited me to come and preach and lead communion here, and it's a great pleasure to do so, and to be back among so many old friends. And you might want to know what a retired bishop does. Well, he basically goes around in parishes filling in and doing odd jobs. It's like being back to being a parish priest again. It's like I found what I left 20-odd years ago, and I'm loving it, enjoying filling in different parishes that are in vacancy and getting around. I suppose we're fortunate in that I've retired into the Willesden area. We're living in Ealing, and therefore I can get to all the churches that I know very well and come and be here. So thanks for inviting me, and good to be with you. We're keeping today as All Saints Sunday, and Lyndon said, why don't you talk a little bit about why you're a Christian and why you would call yourself a saint? Well, I'll explain why I can call myself a saint and why you can call yourselves saints too in a moment. So, how am I a Christian? Why am I a Christian? Straightforward answer is that I'm a Christian because I'm not an atheist, which is what I was until I was converted to Christ. I was a teenager. I was in rebellion against the status quo and the establishment. And I came metaphorically face to face with Jesus Christ. And I was forced to reconsider my atheist assumptions. 20th of August 1966, England had just won the World Cup, and I became a Christian. And that experience of waking up in the morning, knowing deep in my psyche that life had changed forever. There's something about the way in which being conscious of God in Jesus Christ takes hold of you. C.S. Lewis, the great author, describes the evolution of his stories about Narnia in this way. At first, I had very little idea how the story would go. But then suddenly, Aslan came bounding into it. Aslan's the lion who's a picture of Christ. I think that I'd been having a good many dreams about lions at the time. Apart from that, I don't know where the lion came from or why he came. But once he was there, he pulled the whole story together. I think that's what my experience has been of Christian faith, that once you encounter Jesus Christ, he comes and he pulls the whole story together and everything begins to make sense. The lion had become bounding into my life and taken up residence. My default, if I were to abandon this, would be atheism, back to where I started. Nothing else would be quite so coherent. But that continuing C.S. Lewis puzzle of not being able to make sense of Jesus and his teaching and his life and his death and his resurrection outside of the Christian story is what draws me back again and again. And that's how it's been for the last 50 plus years of my life. Now, All Saints, what do we do with All Saints? Why do we keep All Saints? Well, All Saints is that amazing festival when we're drawn to think about the consciousness that we have that we're part of this much wider group of people. Yes, there are people that the church calls saints. We commemorate them in stained glass. Somewhere, I think it's over here, you've got St. Paul staring at you, looking fairly fierce in the stained glass. We have those special saints that the church has designated. But the Bible also says, oh, and by the way, you are all saints. Because the word means holy. The word means that Christians are called to be followers of Jesus Christ, and therefore, you're a saint. You're a saint. You're a saint. You're a saint. You might not think of yourself as one, and you might say, well, actually, I'm sorry, there's plenty in my life that disqualifies me from being a saint. Yes, that's true, but of course, actually, it's not to do with you. It's to do with what God calls you and how God sees you and the fact that you're forgiven and given a life in Jesus Christ. And so our readings help us with that. They say disciples are children of God. That's what we are in 1 John 3. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him, but we are God's children now. What we shall be, well, has not yet been revealed. Our Revelation reading gave us the picture of an eternal existence where we are in communion with all the saints, all those who've gone before us, worshipping God in eternity. And then Matthew, why is the Matthew reading there? Well, it's there because what's the character of a saint? It's the fact that we do the Jesus stuff. Jesus saw the crowds and he gives us this great story, which we know is the Sermon on the Mount, where he preaches to them and says, you're blessed, you're blessed, you're blessed, because you do these things, because you do them as people of my kingdom. Blessed are the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, they will inherit the earth. And all those blessednesses are about the character of what it means to be a saint, a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. And what's the thing that binds all that together? I think in all my years as a Christian, though I probably didn't express it in this way all the time, it's been the reality of God's grace that's animated my understanding. My whole life experience has been, I guess, fairly cerebral. What pulls me up short all the time is the outrageous character of the grace of God. And so my first theme in terms of what it is that sustains me as a Christian is this, that grace, God holding on to us, God being the one who calls us, the story of a God who throughout Bible history called the people of God to himself and called them back to himself continually all the time. You and I, whether we know it or not in terms of how we describe it, have been grabbed by the grace of God. God says, I want you to be my person. I want you to be a saint. And that never-ending, reckless love of God is the theme. Grace, Karl Barth says, is this. It's what pursues us and hunts us down and then gives us the means to live. Grace and gratitude belong together like heaven and earth. Gratitude evokes grace like voice and echo. Gratitude follows grace as thunder follows lightning. I hope that's your experience too, that actually that's what God does in our lives. As we experience his grace, he makes us grateful. And we come to him in thankfulness for who he is. If there's nothing else you hear from this sermon this morning, I hope it's this, that we rediscover and bask in the grace of God, which is the sunshine of your existence. God found us in Jesus Christ by grace. We live day to day by grace, and that fills us day by day. So grace is the first thing. The second thing that I think keeps us going as Christians is the memory of the cross. The fact is that what we wear, whether it's a big bishop's cross like this or the little ones, or whether the cross is something we have as part of our praying that you hold when you pray, or you have a cross on your wall, that symbol of Jesus Christ's death for us and the fact that our lives are marked by the cross, as we're marked in baptism by the cross, is crucial to our understanding. Conversion to God puts our lives into that way of being. How do I know I'm a saint? Because the cross has marked me out. How do I know what it means to be one of God's saints? Because the cross is in my life. And I know Jesus died for me, Jesus rose again for me, Jesus lives eternally and has called me to be his follower. So there's grace and there's cross. And there's also kingdom. What we're called to do is to live this life of grace. Blessed are those who do all these things. And you don't get to God by doing them. It's not a thing you can work up for yourself. It's because God's love is in your life that you become one of the blessed ones, and you listen to the Jesus who preached in the Sermon on the Mount, and he says, you're blessed because you are doing these things. You're blessed because as a disciple of mine, you're following the way of what it means to be a person who is marked out, poor in spirit, mourning, meek, hungry and thirst for righteousness, merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers. Heaven knows we need peacemakers in our world today. And God said to us, that's your calling, that's what you're meant to be. It may not be all those things all the time. That would be far too hard to bear. But that blessedness of being the disciple of Jesus Christ is what we're called to do and to be. So why am I a Christian? I'm a Christian because God grabbed me. You're a Christian because God's grabbed you, whether it's something you've known all your life or something you've come to at a particular stage in your existence. And we will be journeying together with God as his saints. There are better examples of us. We remember them in the saints that the church marks out. But we're still privileged to be saints of God. The kingdom of God is foundational to us. The cross marks us out, and we've been called by grace. Those are the big things that sustain me as a Christian. Grace, cross, kingdom. And that's what we're called to do and to be. Are you glad to be a saint? I hope you are. Happy All Saints. Amen.